expatriate employees. This is one of the issues targeted by HMRC employer compliance officers when they carry out an inspection. The first question to be asked is whether or not there is any NIC's liability for an expatriate coming to work in the UK, and if so, from when does it start? There are lots of foreign workers that have come to the UK to work, but if they have come here and then got a job with a UK employer, they will have to pay Class 1 NICs in the normal way, just like you or me. The fact that they're a foreign national bears no resemblance to the expatriate issue. However, if they're a genuine expatriate employee that has been seconded or assigned to the UK for a period of time, Class 1 NICs are unlikely to be due from day one. The first fact to establish is where they're coming from. If they come from an EU country or an EEA country, then NICs, or Social Security liability, as it's referred to abroad, should only arise in one member state. Normally, that would be the country in which they live. The EU countries are growing, of course, and a list of them are as follows: Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, Cyprus, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Ireland, Italy, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and last but not least, the United Kingdom. Subject to certain conditions, the employee coming to the UK may be accepted from paying UK NICs for periods of from 1 to 5 years, because they continue to pay contributions in their home country. Similar rules apply to certain countries that have what's called reciprocal agreements with the UK. And some of these include the USA, one of the main ones you may come across, and Israel, where again the employees come into the UK may be accepted from UK NICs for periods of from 1 to 5 years. Again, this is because they continue to pay contributions in their home country, and this is the agreement that those countries have with the UK. If an employee is coming to work in the UK on an assignment, but this time coming from a non-agreement country, there is still an exception period during which no UK NICs will be payable. This is known as the 52-week rule, and it is for employees that have been seconded or assigned to the UK for a period of time. If an exception or exemption period does apply, whether this is for the first 52 weeks or longer, HMRC officers will be asking the employer if they have evidence to justify the non-deduction of Class 1 NICs, and therefore use the Table X. When the expatriate employee comes from the EU or a reciprocal agreement country, the home employer should be able to provide a certificate of coverage, which is known as Form E101. The UK employer must ask for this at the start of the assignment, and if the employer doesn't get one, should be deducting NICs. If the expatriate employee is coming from a non-agreement country, where the 52-week rule applies, but no certificate will be produced, HMRC may still be asking for proof of when the employee arrived in the UK to justify when NICs should start. The stamp in the passport is probably the best evidence of this. Are the 52 weeks of NIC exemption properly calculated? This is one of the problems that arises. They run from the Sunday of the week following that in which the employee arrives in the UK. The date the employment begins is irrelevant. It's the date of arrival. Are 52 weeks of liability properly calculated for employees leaving the UK? They run from the beginning of the week in which the employee leaves the UK. Again, repeating it, is a certificate of coverage held? Are the employment details correct? When does it expire? Is there a process in place to consider extension certificates? Are arrangements in place to collect earnings information from abroad? Is NIC paid on the foreign earnings where an E101 has been issued? If there is a UK NIC's liability, does the employee have a national insurance number? If not, is there a mechanism in place to trace the missing number? If no number is held, and that will often be the case for an employee coming from abroad, contact should be made on a timely basis with the Department for Work and Pensions to register the employee. Are numbers held for all employees paying NICs? If not, employees should do something about this. Missing numbers could well cause penalties to be imposed in the future, but it can also result in the revenue making a visit if they find the percentage of missing numbers is too high. Employers should have a process whereby they automatically request the national insurance number from HMRC if the employer doesn't provide it within at least a couple of months. It is no longer possible to use temporary national insurance numbers, which are made up from the date of birth and gender, such as TN for temporary number, 110651, and then M for male. Where an employee comes from abroad and there's a liability for contributions, employers should make arrangements to have that employee registered via the Department for Work and Pensions. There is a fast-track process for EU nationals and for others with work permits, which allow applications to be made by post. Employers should check that the numbers entered on forms P14, the end-of-year form, are valid national insurance numbers, and not one comprising the date of birth, the temporary number. Employers should review their payroll records to identify non-valid numbers, such as those beginning PZ and NK, and then advise employees to contact their local Department for Work and Pensions office to get a correct number.